Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Hello, everybody. We are live and local here on a Thursday, November 20th. This is Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. You'll hear the high school football walkthrough in the 804 tonight. College, your home for the Hokies and Hoos. And all the primetime games in the NFL with Westwood One. And we are proud to be your home for the Commanders in Richmond, who are on a bye this week. So we will turn our attention to the college ranks. JMU, one of the hottest teams in the country right now, they would like to believe that if they win out, they get a college football playoff spot. Will that happen? We've been arguing all week long. We'll hear from the voice of the JMU Dukes today. Dave Riggert will join the program. UVA, I believe it's win and you're in. They've got the week off, and then it's the Commonwealth Cup against the Hokies. You win that, you head to Charlotte, North Carolina for the ACC Championship game. The Hokies have a home crowd that will be rocking as they are hosting a top 25 opponent in Miami with the new coach, James Franklin, in the building. David Cunningham from Tech Sidelines will join us today. But you know how we like to start the show, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
So yesterday we were looking at which quarterbacks would be in line to start once again. Joe Burrow stepping closer to return with being limited in practice. Lamar Jackson popped up on the injury report again, this time for an ankle injury. As we are getting ready for a Thursday night game, Texans will still be without C.J. Stroud as they host the Buffalo Bills. And if you're Buffalo, I mean, you just have to take advantage of every opportunity you have against teams that, you know, are 500 or below 500, because you are chasing the New England Patriots and you are two games back of New England. So they've got to win this one. They've got to get on a win streak here. But it starts Thursday night football tonight on Amazon Prime. There's been a lot of talk about the quarterback play of Eagles QB1 Jalen Hurts. Again, Super Bowl champion Jalen Hurts, quarterback of the 8-2 Eagles Jalen Hurts. But there's always drama in Philly. Here's Dan Orlovsky with the latest.
What's going on with Hurts is so disingenuous and disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. All this dude does is literally everything that everybody begs every other quarterback to do or knocks them for not doing. This dude is 51-14 since 2022. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's won one. He's been the MVP essentially in both. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl last year. All he does is win. All he does is be obsessed with football and winning and doing what's best for the team.
All he does is what's best for the team. I don't understand the hate for Jalen Hurts. I mean,
He's very physically gifted. He can run the football like none other. He's got the weapons on the outside. He's got a great running back. You're 8-2. I get you want him to be better statistically, but your team is 8-2, and they'll be at Dallas this Sunday. Let's move over to the NBA on the Sports app. Yesterday was a Wizards Wednesday as we talked to the play-by-play voice of the Wizards, Dave Johnson. The radio party can be heard here on The Fan. They were in Minnesota taking on the T-Wolves as Julius Randle had himself a game. He had 32 points, but we are tracking the young Wiz every day, and in 37 minutes of game action, Keyshawn George hit 8 of 17 from the field, had 23, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, doing it all for the Wiz, including this big shot to keep them alive.
George right of the circle, 8 on the clock, guarded by Clark. Now 5 seconds. Rock of the cradle, top of the arc, foul line. Puts up a shot, scores at the buzzer. Keyshawn George is cool as you please, under pressure. And the Wizards go to the fourth, down by 12.
Trey Johnson had 10. He hit 2 of 4 from 3. Cam Whitmore with 13 and 6 rebounds. Bilal Coulibaly, good to see him back in the lineup. He had 13, 4, and 4. He's just got to stay healthy, as the goal for this season is not to win games, but to develop their stars. Let's take a listen to the final call.
I like the comeback. Shame about the start. That's pretty much the short story, as the Wizards gave up 71 points in the first half.
But impressive second half.
It shows, put that together in four quarters, you're going to win some ball games.
Well, it shows some growth based on, you know, even the last game against Brooklyn.
And critical how they responded. There's the 24-second violation. And now it'll be Wizards ball, but the Timberwolves would win this, but I don't
Let's
want anyone to
Let's get
to
the
move.
Knicks and the Mavericks last night. That was a thriller. Jalen Brunson back in the lineup, 28 points for the Knicks as they get the win. Controversial ending. Let's take a listen to the call.
Lobs it up top to Lively. Lively to Williams. Williams on the drive, goes underneath, layup. He puts it in. Oh, they wave it off. They wave it off. An offensive foul called on Williams.
It was kind of wild. The Mavs had to do the old Leitner play. They end up getting the game-tying layup, but he kind of did wrap his arm around the body. I understand the call. How about the Chicago Bulls on an NBA Wednesday in which it felt like the entire field was in action, the entire association? Vucevic, buzzer-beating three, helping the Bulls over the Blazers, 122-121.
Ball fake into Kobe. Checked by Avdija. Down to 5. Down to 4. Game on the line right here. He takes Murray. He ducks under. Vooch for the win.
Vooch Main has done it again. Put some respect on Vooch Main's name. Bang, bang, bang.
What a call. What a call from Chicago Sports Radio. Denny Avdija with the Blazers. Got to mention him. He had 32, 11 rebounds, 11 assists. The triple-double for Denny. Man, would I have loved him to stay on the Washington Wizards. Let's move over to college basketball on the Sports app. So yesterday we mentioned the top 25 games that were going to be played. How about number 4 against number 3? Arizona is 5-0 as they defeat Dan Hurley's UConn Huskies 71-67. Let's take a listen to the call.
Swings it near side. 7. Stewart off to Devery, and he lost it out of bounds. It's
close to turn the corner and go.
Stalking Devery, hip to hip with it. 5-2, Bradley turns, scoops, and scores!
Has anybody had more impressive wins to start their season than Arizona? They beat Florida, last year's champions. They beat UCLA, and then they beat UConn to start the season 5-0. Here in November. How about Alabama against Illinois? We told you guys about the Eastern Europeans like Stojakovic for Illinois. They've got sharp shooters from all over the court, and the three-point shots were just not falling against Alabama. They hit 34%. Alabama shoots 13 of 36, 36% from deep, and that helped them get the win, a top 10 win because of their hot three-point shooting.
Yes, they did, but they'll live with that one.
That's
extra pass, three, answer! Latrell Wrightsell from the corner.
Wrightsell had two three-pointers made, and Alabama won 90-86. Let's go over to college football on the sports app. So we will look at the big games this weekend, including in Blacksburg, the Hokies hosting number 13 Miami. They're going to have a ton of recruits in the building, and their newest head coach, who was hired yesterday, James Franklin. So we'll be watching that, but the big game is the elimination game, in my mind, in the Big Ten. 9-1 Oregon, 8-2 USC. I think the two are battling for that final spot out of the Big Ten. Here is Greg McElroy with a USC-Oregon preview.
The USC Trojans travel to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Oregon Ducks. This game, 3:30 Eastern time on CBS. This is not just a conference game. This is a college football playoff game. Now, the Oregon Ducks, they're 9-1 right now. They're 6-1 in the Big Ten, hosting the Trojans, who are 8-2. They're 6-1 in conference play as well. And the consequences of a loss on either side are absolute. For USC, a third loss would unequivocally end any conversation about their inclusion in the college football playoff, right? Like, we're all on the same page there. We know that for USC, a loss and they're out. But for Oregon, a second loss would potentially make things a bit shaky with their own playoff candidacy. Now, they should be in pretty good shape, but at the end of the day, they...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Might not control their own fate in the event in which they hang a 10-2 record out there, depending on strength of schedule and resume and things like that.
I think Oregon has an opportunity to be a two-loss team that could be in. I just don't think the Big Ten deserves four teams, and so if they're limited to just three, I would pick the winner of USC against Oregon. Over to the NHL on the sports app. Every day on the sports app, we track the Washington Capitals, who have the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL, still on the ice in Alexander Ovechkin. It was Protoss giving the Caps an early lead in the first, and then Alex Ovechkin nets his seventh goal of the season. He's got a streak. Let's take a listen to the call.
A little bit of a track meet here as the Oilers start to find their footing a little bit. Not quite 6 minutes gone here in the first period. Protoss 2:17 in, giving the Capitals a 1-0 lead. To the Edmonton zone. And for Strome, who will dart Away from Henry, Capitals work it quickly to the blue line. A shot from Chikrin, they score! And Ovechkin look to tip it on the way! 13:56 to go! Here in the first period, Alex Ovechkin makes it 2-0 Washington!
Pair of goals by Ryan Leonard, and then Tom Wilson gets the empty netter, and the Caps win 7-4. Let's take a listen to the final call.
Capitals back into their zone and holding the puck with Rasmus Sandin. As the final seconds tick down, the Caps will play it out to center, and that is going to do it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Edmonton. The Capitals hang 7 on the Edmonton Oilers tonight in their biggest offensive display of the season.
And the Caps will get back on the ice tonight against Montreal. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on a thirsty Thursday, November 20th. This is the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local sports talk in town. You got the Junks Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. Michael Phillips is 10 to 12 noon. I'm 12 to 3 AWOD Radio before Grant and Danny drive you home. We bring on Michael Phillips right now for a segment we call Crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on the Fan. It's like that 190s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on the Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, yesterday we argued JMU. Today I'd like to argue about UVA in the college football playoffs.
This is fun. This is a series. I like this.
So I want to get your take on this. If UVA gets into the field, all right, with the current list of 25 teams, in the top 25, Virginia is ranked 14th, all right? Ahead of them, Utah, Oklahoma, Texas, Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas Tech, BYU, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Indiana, Ohio State. Of those 13 teams ahead of them, can UVA beat any of them?
BYU. I think they could beat BYU because I think the Big 12 is certainly, you know, and you know, I think we both agree the Big 10 is not as good as the SEC and probably a little bit overrated. But I think the Big 12 is still a cut below the Big 10 right now. So I want to play one of those teams. I think Texas Tech just has loads of talent. And not that BYU doesn't, but that feels like the one, you know, them in Utah. I would take BYU or Utah. I think Texas Tech would beat them.
I think there are several teams that they could battle with and maybe end up winning. Let me ask you this, Michael.
Three.
How
name
did
three.
They? So are you giving them credit for beating Florida State, but not giving Florida State credit for beating Alabama?
What? No, this is So Alabama losing the first one, then going on a run. I think about like in high school, like Huguenot loses to St. Chris, terrible loss. They're 10-0 since then. They're undefeated. They're a formidable foe going into the playoffs. Like Alabama lost the first game. I hold that against them. And you know, I think a 3-loss Alabama team should be excluded from the playoff. But at the same time, you have to respect the teams. The team that played then is not the team playing now. And if Florida State and Alabama played that game again, even in Tallahassee, we all know who would win that game. I give UVA credit for being Florida State. I think Louisville is their best win of the season, not Florida State. But I think they have two solid victories on their resume.
But you're giving them no shot against any other team outside of BYU.
No, the talent gap's just so big, Adam. I mean, the gap between what UVA has, which is a good ACC team, and everybody else. I mean, look what happened to the ACC in the playoffs last year. And Clemson was a little bit of a different beast. But SMU got walloped, and that's the comparable here, right? These ACC teams are not ready for prime time. They are not ready to go toe-to-toe with the nation's best teams.
I just think it's all about the matchup, and a lot of people forget that, you know, Arizona State had Texas on the ropes last year. Like, I think that if it was a Big 12 team against UVA, I would pick UVA. And I know you're saying the Texas Tech is so good this year. I would pick UVA. I think the ACC is a better conference than the Big 12, and I will continue to argue that.
I would love to play Texas. Bring on Texas. I mean, gosh, can you imagine a more overrated team in America than Texas somehow still getting itself in the top 25 every week, even though all they do is prove they're
not actually good at football? But Texas is ahead of UVA. You only named BYU. So now you're saying UVA could beat Texas.
Texas is actually ahead of, no, you said 15. Texas isn't top 15, are they?
Texas is in at number 11.
That's completely absurd. That's really, yeah, okay. I add Texas to my list thing because that's absurd. Texas is I mean, yeah, that's ridiculous to me that they would be that high. Which conference did you say the ACC is better in than
the Big 12? The Big 12. Yes.
Look, I mean, we'd have to go team by team and debate it. I think you're probably, your argument there's probably going to be like teams 4 through 8 in the ACC, I think, aren't getting enough credit for being solid. Whereas in the Big 12, I think there's more of a quick drop off. Like your Cincinnati's of the world are probably a little overhyped at the moment. The bottom line is you're probably not going to be playing one of them. You're probably going to be playing an SEC or a Big Ten team, and I just don't believe UVA could hang with any of those teams that would make it, unless Texas somehow stupidly makes it, which would be stupid, as
but,
previously mentioned.
Between the ACC and the Big 12, you have a similar number of teams in the top 25. I don't believe in Houston. I don't believe in Arizona State this year. I definitely don't believe in Utah this year. I would pick Miami over all of those teams. I would definitely pick Georgia Tech over those teams. And I think UVA could beat them. So, like, what I'm saying is, if you are going off of the strength of the conference, I think it should be SEC 1, Big 10 2, ACC 3, Big 12 4.
See, now we are having the same argument we had yesterday, because you were trying to do this thing like the American Conference is better than the Sun Belt Conference, which is true. So you're like, obviously they will get the nod over the Sun Belt, and that's not how this works. The committee ranks teams; they don't rank conferences. The teams will be ranked, and the three Big 12 teams at the top, the two after they settle who's in the title game, will be better than the two ACC teams participating in the ACC title game.
How can you guarantee me that? So look at the overall records right now. What's the difference between UVA and BYU? What's the difference between UVA and Utah?
I think that, I know you hate the eye test. Paul Feinbaum was complaining about the eye test. Kevin Clark was on TV complaining about the eye test. Like, we play games. Why does anything, you know, nothing matters anymore? I think this is a committee that finally has the guts to do the job.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That he should have been doing for a long time, which is, it's a 11-game sprint to the finish once you throw out your win over a 1AA team. It's a sprint to the finish. The teams that started the year aren't the teams that end the year. I love that the committee is willing to objectively look at these teams and decide on their merits who has a chance to be a national champion and who just has an inflated, gaudy record.
Right. So you are siding with the committee that Notre Dame lost to Miami, but look at the work they've done since then.
I am siding with the committee on that, though. I very much want to be on record as saying I believe Miami is the best team in the ACC and should be represented in the college football playoff.
You have so much Miami bias. You just love big brands. Is that what it is? I mean, dude, they lost to Louisville. They lost to Louisville and SMU.
They lost to Louisville in the weird Friday night game. Virginia Tech almost beat Miami in the weird Friday night game last year. Like, it's like losing Thursday night football. Like,
okay. So that's how UVA beat Florida State. Friday nights are here to stay in the ACC. It's not fluky.
Dude, the ratings say that Friday nights are very much here to stay in the ACC. That is for sure. Yeah. I think that Miami's got a chance to prove itself in the last game, which is more than a lot of these teams can say. I'm fascinated by Georgia Tech Pitt. To me, if Georgia Tech beats Pitt and could hang with Georgia, not necessarily beat them, but hang with them, that could be a potential second team if they lose the ACC title game too, because they could close their season really strong.
If UVA beats Tech and UVA beats Georgia Tech, would you feel differently about them winning a game in the CFP?
No, I would not. The only thing that would make me feel better is if they played Texas or BYU somehow in the college football playoffs. I don't believe UVA could beat any of those top six teams.
So what about this, Michael? So if Georgia Tech beats Georgia and then the following week loses to Virginia, would that change your mind?
That might change my mind, yeah. Because Then we'd be talking about, I mean, that would be a mega, mega win for sure. Like, that's the sort of thing that changes perceptions, a win like that. I would spot you that one. You have found the hypothetical that breaks me. Congratulations.
I also don't think Florida State is as bad as everybody says they are. They have a ton of NFL talent. And, like, that's how they beat Alabama. The NFL talent showed up in that game. They've been inconsistent, especially at quarterback. But there's a reason Florida State beat Alabama. All right. I think Florida State has a lot of talent.
I want to give UVA full marks for beating Florida State, which was a very nice win at home that they earned with really good play. And I want to give Chandler Morris his full flowers. He has been great this year. I think the defense has been solid. I think they've made a step forward. I also think, on the whole, this is not a UVA team that is going to intimidate anybody from a major conference in a college football playoff game.
That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We'll continue our college football playoff discussion at 1:30 with the voice of the JMU Dukes, Dave Riggert. But joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline is our buddy Ethan Cadeau. What's up, Ethan?
What's up, man? How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know how this happened, but we had you on at training camp, and we both thought this was going to be a good season, and here we are. It's the bye week, and the season's over. What the hell happened?
Yeah, everything that could go wrong went wrong. I mean, injuries are obviously the first thing everyone will point to. I would say that's a huge part, but that doesn't tell the full story. The defense is bad, has been bad from the jump. The offense, I mean, Jaden not playing, Terry, the vibes were just off from the beginning. And every break that went their way in 2024 seems like it just evened out this year, where they did not get one break go their way. So it's crazy, because after 5 weeks of that huge win in L.A., the Chargers, I thought everything was back on track. And here we are, week before Thanksgiving, and they haven't won a game since.
Yeah, but that, you mentioned it. The close games last year, they won. They're losing this year. And they're 3-8, and the season's over. But they could have very easily beaten the Falcons, the Bears, and the Dolphins, and been at 6-5 with everything to play for. So it's just the little things, the balls bouncing the other team's way this year. And at 6-5, you would have had everything to play for. At 3-8, you don't. And so now, what is the goal for this team during the bye week?
Yeah, I think the goal for this team during the bye week is just to get away from everything as much as possible and come back next week with kind of just a clear mind and a reset. Look, like, the goals they made at the beginning of the year are probably unattainable at this point. Even if they were to somehow, some way, run the table and finish at 9-8, I don't think they're making the playoffs. So now I think you got to kind of focus towards building for next year, whether that's playing some of the younger guys more. We've seen a lot more of, like, Jordan McGee in the past few weeks. I want to see him play more. And then, in my opinion, most importantly, if Jaden is healthy and ready to go, I want to see him back on the field. I know that's been a debate, whether he should play, whether he shouldn't play. I mean, it's a year two in the league. You can't coach scared. He was playing solid, but he was not the quarterback he was last year when he was sensational, when he was on the field this year. So I would like to see him get a few games, build that confidence back up, and maybe kind of play spoiler a little bit. I mean, you still got two games against the Eagles late in the year, play Dallas, play the Giants again. I mean, Denver comes to town next Sunday night. They're not flexing that game. So I feel like there's still a lot to play for 2026 and beyond, even if goals and aspirations for 2025 are no longer attainable.
Yeah, should Jaden Daniels play again in 2025? It's the million-dollar question. They're talking about it on B. Mitch and Finley right now. I'm sure they're talking about it on Monumental. It's being talked about on a national scale as well. And Herm Edwards came on 106.7 The Fan yesterday and talked about how if he's healthy, he needs to play. That's the game of football. To me, here's the question, because I think that this front office is going to be extra cautious because of the history of that position in D.C., a la RG3, right? So, if Jaden comes back and he suffers an injury and it hurts him this offseason, would that be a fireable offense to a guy like Dan Quinn? And I'm scared to say the answer because that's, I think, what's going to hold this front office back. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not a fireable offense, it would definitely turn up the hot seat very, 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 very high. I don't know. I do agree with Herm Edwards. I think he needs to play if he's healthy. And what kind of message does that send to his teammates in the locker room who are playing through tons of injuries when the front office and coaching staff holds Jaden out for the rest of the year? Obviously, I'm sure they understand the dynamics and the importance of the position and the history and the position and all that, but I do think he needs the reps, honestly. I mean, I still think he was really good when he played this year, but there were signs of regression, year two slump, all that. Like, I still think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback for a very, very long time, but he wasn't seeing the field the same way he was last year, and I don't know if everything was sped up because he was scared he was going to get hurt or he felt the pressure, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think there's a lot to gain with him playing more, and you can't really go out there and expect that he's going to get hurt again. I mean, which is crazy to say, because he's got hurt at three different points this year. But if you isolate every single injury he's had, they all were kind of fluke. And I agree with Herm, you can't coach scared, and he's got to play. Like, you're not going to bubble wrap him next year. You're going to start him week one, and he's going to probably play through pain. Last year he played through a broken rib for a month. It's the game of football, and I think he's got to play if he's good to go.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think he definitely needs the reps from what I saw this year. There's a lot of room for improvement for the NFL's Rookie of the Year. Not saying he had a sophomore slump, but there's a lot of room for improvement. Everybody would say that's true, including, you know, Kurt Warner, who made headlines with his breakdown a few weeks ago. I want him to play. I wonder if this front office is going to say, is the juice worth the squeeze? Because they saw the firestorm they had to deal with when he was playing in the fourth quarter of what ended up being a meaningless game. Well, what if he plays the whole game in a meaningless game and then gets hurt? Like, that's what I would be worried about if I were this front office, and be extra cautious about. Because of the fact that everybody was ready to fire Dan Quinn for him playing in a fourth quarter of a game they weren't going to win. Well, what does it matter at this point?
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism, and I agree he shouldn't have been in the game when you're down 38-7 or whatever it was midway through the fourth quarter. Like, everyone in that stadium knew the game was over. So I'm with that as well. the thing that sucks about the situation is there's no right answer. Like, you and I are in agreement that he should play if he's healthy to play, but I do understand the other side of it where they want to hold him out. They don't want to risk injury, and he can go into the 2026 offseason fully healthy and expectations for next year. Like, I don't think many people are going to go into next year thinking Super Bowl like they were this year, but I mean, there's moves to be made where they could easily be a playoff team next year, and I would almost expect them to be back in the playoffs next year. So I get both sides, which is why it makes it such a difficult dilemma, and also goes to if they just won one or two of these games over the last 5 or 6 week stretch, they'd still be in it, and it wouldn't really be a debate. He'd come back when he's healthy. Yeah. But now that they're 3-8, like, even if they won on Sunday in Madrid, Miami, 4-7 instead of 3-8, if you win the Bears game, you're 5-6, you're right there. You're right in the thick of things. There's so much to play for. The fact that it's 3-8 now and 6-game losing streak, it's more understandable why they might err on the side of caution, but I still would play him personally.
Yeah, and look around the league. I mean, Cincinnati's having a similar conversation with Joe Burrow. The other part of the theme of today's show is I have taken Adam Peters off of the pedestal. I put him on there. I said this man's done no wrong. I gave him an A-plus for every draft pick year one. I gave him an A-plus for every trade he's made, everything he's done here. I forgave him for Lattimore because I felt like you needed to make a move. But the kicking problem pissed me off. And your GM is to blame for multiple losses this season because they overpaid Matt Gay, who's just not good enough. And so now I'm going back and I'm looking at every single draft pick that Adam Peters has made since he's gotten here. And the guys that were drafted in the Jaden draft class, they've played almost two seasons now. We need to see something from them. Who of that draft class needs to step up the most in the closing part of this season?
The simple answer is everybody. I mean, outside of taking Jaden second overall, which you and I would have done the exact same thing, it was a home run. Like, all those guys have either regressed or not really developed in year two. I mean, Mikey Sanders still was one of the best players on this defense last year, was even at one point in defensive rookie of the year conversations. He's been nothing short of a liability. I know he's been put in some situations that maybe aren't best his strengths and skill set, but I mean, he's regressed. Brandon Coleman, we entered the offseason talking about how this guy could be a Pro Bowl guard, then he loses the job, it's a healthy scratch. Like, I still think he could be good, but I mean, there's a lot there. And then Ben Sennett, that's a guy you spent a second round pick on, he's barely part of the offense. And then Johnny Newton, picked 35th overall, everyone's saying, oh, this guy should have been a first round pick. Last week Deron Payne's suspended, he's going to get an elevated role. He still plays similarly low amount of snaps and doesn't really make an impact. So all four of those guys, I mean, the jury's really still out. It's too early to tell whether the draft class minus Jaden has been a complete wash, but I mean, the returns now don't look nearly as pretty as they did 12 months ago, and it's going to be a crucial offseason. They don't have a ton of picks again, where they really got to find impact players and make a difference right away, or else it could be another roster that's older with plug and play vets and as sustainable or as successful as it was in 2024. It shows how unsustainable it has been in 2025.
Yeah, I think at this time last year, we looked at his first draft class and said there's at least four, maybe five building blocks. Well, now it looks like one, maybe two. It's certainly something to monitor this offseason. Ethan, tell us about some of the work that you're doing at Monumental Sports and where everyone can check it out.
Yeah, I mean, Capitol season's in full swing, so that's also my main job as well. I've been covering them, so check out all of my Capitals work, Alex Ovechkin stuff on monumentalsports.com. And yeah, still a lot of football to be played, a lot of hockey to be played. I was hearing some of your college football talk before. I have some strong opinions on that as well, so I'm excited for the next month or so.
Yeah, hit us with a hot take here.
Yeah, I tweeted it the other day. Miami and Notre Dame, the Notre Dame's two good losses, putting them ahead of Miami's two bad losses when Miami literally beat them when they played together, makes no sense to me. I get that game was in week one, and the teams are a little bit different now, but the games have to matter for something. And if there's two teams that are 8-2 and one team beat the other, the team that won the game should be ahead of them. So that's my little TED talk where Notre Dame fans will probably come running to my mentions and tell me how wrong I am, but I think Miami deserves more respect for that win that they got in week one.
And I think it's across the board, like, all right, you're going to credit some teams for scheduling tough at the beginning of the season. Like, Texas is still in it because of the toughness of their schedule at the beginning of the year. But, like, Alabama, you're just overlooking the fact that they lost to Florida State. Or you're saying that, oh, that game meant nothing because it was just week one. Well, why are you crediting other teams for those tough games that they played if you're not going to penalize the teams for losing those tough games?
Yep, I'm 100% on board. I think the committee realized how badly they messed up with Miami in their original ranking, and they've just been kind of bumping them down and bumping them down. And look, now all of a sudden they're in the picture this week. But, I mean, barring a miracle, they're not going to win the ACC, so they're probably not going to get in. Meanwhile, we might get a three-loss Texas team somehow jump in, or an Alabama team that lost to Florida State. Like, it's very complicated. There's no right way to do it, but I think the games on the field have to matter. And it's just clear we're seeing a lot of the SEC bias from the committee, which I'm not surprised, but I mean, there could be five SEC teams in there, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, and here's the truth that I believe. I believe Notre Dame is better than Miami, but I believe the head-to-head win should trump everything, and Miami won that.
Yeah, 100%. Head-to-head has to be the number one deciding factor. It shouldn't be the only factor. And look, I agree with you. I think right now if they played again, Notre Dame wins. But they didn't win when they played in week one. And if you look at Notre Dame's schedule since they lost to Texas A&M and lost to Miami, who have they really played? I mean, I guess the win at Pitt last week was a good win, but their schedule is pretty light. And I don't know. I feel like Notre Dame is just going to coast into the playoff pretty much every year as long as they don't lose three games, because they play a light schedule with a few big matchups and they're not in the conference. So I don't know. I'm not a huge Notre Dame fan either, which is why I guess my bias is maybe showing a little bit, but you can't lose two games and then just run the table against inferior opponents and automatically be in.
Ethan, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Jeremy, I do feel like with the 12-team college football playoffs, it's becoming one of those things where it might be more popular right now to argue about the playoffs in college football than the playoffs in the NFL.
I agree. I mean, the NFL playoffs are so subjective, right? You know the records are the only thing that decides it, but the college football playoffs, oh, you get all these what-if scenarios. You get all these hypotheticals. These teams never played each other. These records are different. They played tougher competition. It's just more fun to do.
Yeah. I'm totally with you there, and I think we can continue to argue about this for the next few weeks here. JMU, if they win, should they be in? I believe so. Doesn't seem like the committee feels the same way with their bias towards the American Conference. Yeah, that's what we're seeing this season. We'll be joined by the voice of the Dukes, Dave Riggard, coming up at 1:30. But we wanted to go around the National Football League and take our first look at Thursday Night Football tonight on Amazon Prime to begin the week of NFL action here on NFL Hits with AWOD. So Buffalo at the Houston Texans, and of course the big news, Stroud out. With CJ Stroud out, do you still give the Texans a shot in this game? Well, if you look at what they've done without him in the past, you'd say, yeah, I mean, they can move the football. It's all about feeding Nico Collins. Feed him. And then Woody Marks has had, like, a surprising season, Jeremy. He, like, I will admit, I did not know who he was until about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But he has stepped up for that Houston team in the backfield for them. And you look at the last few weeks here, he's been able to get almost 3.5 yards per carry. So if they're able to run the ball and get Nico Collins involved, they should be able to be in this game. And then I think defensively, can they force Josh Allen into a turnover? Can they force him to have a mistake? That's what I would be looking at. But Josh Allen's having this incredible season, and if you look at his body of work for this year, I mean, it's just so impressive. And yet, the turnovers are starting to pile up in the last month. He's got 5 of his 7 interceptions this season in the last 5 games. And so I think that's going to be the key for Buffalo. Josh Allen not turning it over.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of what this whole game is going to hinge on. You hit on Woody Marks, that Buffalo run defense, one of the worst in all of the NFL. They're consistently gashed on the ground. But on the other side of the ball, it's going to be Josh Allen versus the best defense in football by a lot of different numbers. The Texans defense, elite against the pass. They have some of the best corners in football. They have 2 of the best edge rushers in football going up against a good offensive line. But Josh Allen is special. He's made mistakes before this season. We just saw them lose to the Dolphins a couple weeks ago. This is a very good defense, and it's going to be a tight game because of that.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I think would upset you if you're a Buffalo fan is, you know, we've been just so inconsistent this season in the last month here after starting 4-0 and with the win over the Ravens week 1, everybody said, you know, this is our year. Then back-to-back losses to the Patriots, the Falcons, then big win over the Chiefs, and then that embarrassing game against the Miami Dolphins. Now, I thought they looked like themselves offensively against the Bucs, and I think we've realized, like, Josh Allen needs to know when there's nobody open, instead of trying to fit it into a tight window, just take off and run, because that has been his biggest weapon, it feels like, this season, when he's not, you know, throwing the ball down the field. And 3 touchdowns on the ground last week. We mentioned the interceptions, but the touchdowns on the ground have really started to pile up. In the last 4 weeks, he's got 7 touchdowns on the ground.
Wow.
He has been running it into the end zone. He gets to the red zone, and then he sniffs the end zone, and he gets in there himself. But he is sliding down my MVP ladder slowly here, and I think it's the recency. That loss to the Dolphins was really bad. So we wanted to check in on Jeremy's MVP ladder. The top of my list right now is Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, absolutely. Matthew Stafford still at the top of the list. He's leading the league in touchdowns still. Only 2 interceptions, too. I think the interceptions, like you were talking about with Josh Allen, that's one of the most important things to consider. That team is the number 1 seed in the NFC, I believe. Maybe just behind the Eagles. They're at least ahead in their division. And they're just looking really dominant with Matthew Stafford at the helm.
Yeah, and I think they still have some strength on defense as well. But Drake May has moved ahead of Josh Allen. I don't predict it will stay that way. I think the December games are going to be tough for the Patriots and Drake May. It just always gets tough in December as it becomes more hard-nosed football and you have to be able to run the ball. But right now, I have Drake May ahead of Josh Allen, and then I go Mahomes, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, all ahead of Jonathan Taylor, because I just don't believe this will be most valuable player. I think he'll end up being most valuable quarterback.
I'm a little surprised you have Sam Darnold that high after 4 interception performance. He's had a really great season, but if you're really putting him and Jared Goff in the MVP conversations, I don't think they really ever belong there. These guys aren't the reason their teams are so good. The teams are so good because of the guys they have around them. You look at the offensive lines for these teams, the weapons these 2 quarterbacks have. They're good. They're playing great. But to throw them into MVP conversations, I think, is a little high for what they've done.
For me, it was the eye test. 21 of 24, 4 touchdowns against Washington, 330 yards. He barely had an incomplete pass. I know he stunk it up in the next week, but from what I saw Sam Darnold this year, I was very much impressed. And I just think, like, the normal MVPs aren't really having this. Like, Lamar's not in the conversation. Joe Burrow's not in the conversation, right? And then you look at, like, elsewhere, and you're like, Chicago was at the top of their division. I'm not putting Caleb Williams in that conversation. Baker Mayfield was in there a few weeks ago. I don't think he's in it anymore. And so, in terms of quarterbacks, I do think that you've got to put Sam Darnold and Jared Goff up there for the NFC. Is there another NFC quarterback that you think deserves to be ahead of them? I would not say Jordan Love. I would not say Baker. I would not say Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I think the only one you could really make an argument for would be Baker. I think it's a 3-horse race, and I think it's all those AFC quarterbacks. I think it's between, well, Matthew Stafford, obviously, in the NFC. You have Drake May and Patrick Mahomes. I think that's really going to be the race for MVP right there.
Yeah, and with Mahomes, it's like he's 5-5, you know? But he is the most important player on his team, and when he has a good game, usually the team has a good game. Look, Mahomes here can, I think, have an MVP-type run to close out the season. And really, it might come down to, if Kansas City gets into the playoffs, it might be because Mahomes put on the cape and was your MVP. Because the schedule doesn't really lighten up. Like Colts, Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, Broncos, Raiders. I see three wins. They're probably going to need five to get into the postseason. And it's going to be difficult. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know what I think is a hot take? Will Compton declaring the dynasty is over for the Kansas City Chiefs. I would pick them to beat the Colts this week. And if Michael Phillips wants to put another breakfast bet on the line, we might have some action on Friday's show. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.